we are very happy, very relieved, and we're very glad that this seems to be a change in the wind, and the companies are taking, I think, a step forward to being responsibly able to handle the situation.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we'll talk about an ongoing trend here in the Northeast, water contamination. First, I'll interview the mayor of Hoosick Falls, New York, Rob Allen. Then we'll hear about Rockland County, New York's ongoing battle with PFAS contamination. First, three companies blamed for the pollution of water supplies in and around the Rensselaer County village of Hoosick Falls have agreed to pay $65 million to settle a federal lawsuit. The deal still needs court approval. It would provide money and medical monitoring for thousands of property owners and residents. The suit against Saint-Gobain, Honeywell International, 3M, and DuPont came after PFAS contamination of the village's water supply was first discovered in 2014. DuPont is not part of the settlement. In a statement to WAMC, Saint-Gobain said it is pleased to have reached a settlement agreement with the plaintiffs. New York State has been working to identify permanent drinking water sources for the village. I spoke with Mayor Rob Allen on Thursday. What should listeners and residents know about this settlement?
Well, first off, thank you for having me. And I have to say, listening to those statements, I think it really highlights one of the key positives about this is that this is really a signal that our conversations as a community with the companies has changed for the better. This settlement is something that is based on recognized and agreed upon science, common sense. There's justice and fairness in this outcome. This is a settlement on the civil side of things, which is separate from what the village and the municipality has been pursuing, that is going to be giving compensation to victims of PFOA, of property owners due to the lost property value. And probably most importantly, it sets up a decade-long medical monitoring program for residents who had elevated levels of PFOA in their blood. This is it's a huge victory. It's a major step forward in righting this decade-long wrong, and it's a really important part of the entire PFOA story that we've been going through.
Is the dollar amount here, $65 million, enough to carry off a decade of medical monitoring, given the fact that we don't know how people's health will proceed?
That's not an answer I have. I'd have to fully review the settlement, and I have not been able to find it on the online doc yet. I know it's coming. I know a substantial part, I think it was $22 million of this settlement, is specifically to set up the medical monitoring program. I think, to my knowledge, it seems to also include, you know, training doctors, getting them local, getting specialists here. You know, is 10 years enough? I mean, it's a lot better than what we had yesterday, which was nothing. And I think that, you know, as our levels go down, this is a good preemptive approach to making sure that over the next decade, we can monitor our own health, knowing a lot of the things that we should be looking for based on other exposure to PFOA in other communities.
In the past day or so, what kind of feedback have you been getting from your constituents?
I've been hearing a lot of positives to this. Everyone was, I think, pleasantly surprised. I know we as a village board are welcoming this as good news, and we're, you know, we stand ready to help the attorneys who are involved to get the news out and information out. This is going to be likely a month-long process to get all the information out. And I know that there's time built into the settlement that will allow people to look over the details and understand what it is, what they're agreeing to, and consult with their own, you know, personal attorneys and so on and so forth. But the general gist is that we are very happy, very relieved, and we're very glad that this seems to be a change in the wind, and the companies are taking, I think, a step forward to being responsibly able to handle the situation.
What's your sense of why that happened?
You know, I don't know. I mean, you look at some of the previous court filings in this and some of the things that they were trying to argue in their motion to dismiss. And it was pretty stunning, some of the things they've said. You know, when one of the Saint-Gobain attorneys turned around and sued Saint-Gobain, I think it was Emil Gross. I think that sent up some pretty important flares. But I think, You know, one of the things I wanted to do as mayor is just make sure we don't rush the process. We take the time, get all the information, get all the data. And I think as we have felt all along, as this information is discovered and comes out, there's no question that we as a community were really deeply wronged by this. And it was something that happened for a long time. And it's just really, really great as a community to see that the companies are being proactive with handling this response. And this is the first step. You know, as a village, we have our water supply decision coming up in the coming weeks. And then we as a village can discuss with the companies how to cover the long-term cost of this and whatever other financial settlement we should have as a village. This settlement today with this federal class action case is a very good sign for those discussions coming soon.
For people who have followed the saga of Hoosick Falls, I think it's fair to say that one of the reasons you're mayor today is that locals were unsatisfied with the way the village and the companies in question here dealt with each other at the outset of this water crisis. What would you say to those who might suggest that, you know, we're talking about multi-billion dollar conglomerates here, very powerful companies, that maybe Hoosick Falls should have held out for more money?
Well, you know, early on, there was a lot of ambiguity in the law, in the regulations, and I think that allowed the companies to kind of operate within those lines. They could say things like, we don't have, you know, there's no danger, there's nothing to report, none of these chemicals are regulated. And I think that ambiguity allowed some attempts to pull things over the leadership at the time. You know, 6-7 years later, these are now regulated chemicals in New York State and other states across the country. There was a major PFAS bill that moved forward in the House yesterday. So by taking care of these little loopholes, it's really allowed communities like us and other communities who are facing PFAS contamination to adequately address the situation with the polluters and get the compensation they need. This is it's been a long process. There's still a long ways to go, but it's a very, very positive step.
Anything I forgot to ask you about or that you'd like to mention?
No, I think there's one thing I would want to say. Speaking with some members of the community, I know that we're all very grateful for the residents who pursued this, who opened up their lives to all the legal scrutiny and questioning as they pursued this court case, and those attorneys who helped fight on behalf of the victims here. So we're very grateful for all those involved to get us to this point today.
Mayor Rob Allen, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Now to Rockland County, where more than 80 organizations are urging New York Governor Andrew Cuomo to protect the county's drinking water from PFAS contamination. It comes 7 months after residents learned the county's drinking water in several locations is contaminated with PFOA and PFOS. We get more from Allison Dunn.
Peggy Kurtz is co-founder of the Rockland Water Coalition, which came up with a list of cleanup actions when the contamination came to light.
Last November, Suez and Nyack water customers were notified that PFAS chemicals had been detected in our drinking water at levels that exceed state standards. The coalition began reaching out to environmental professionals and health experts to learn more, and what we learned was alarming. The phrase we have heard over and over again from experts is that there are no known safe levels of PFAS.
Kurt says the coalition's list of recommended actions has gone, for the most part, unheeded. So 84 Rockland organizations have written to Governor Cuomo demanding his administration take care of 7 items.
Our demands fall into 3 broad categories: comprehensive and safe cleanup, transparency and accountability, and stronger statewide standards.
The Rockland Water Coalition, along with dozens of local religious, civic, and environmental organizations, plus schools and businesses, signed a July letter to Governor Cuomo asking that he eliminate PFAS chemicals from the water as quickly and comprehensively as possible, keep the public informed about the full extent of the contamination and cleanup, comprehensively test for all 29 detectable PFAS chemicals, and publicly post the results, and identify polluters and hold them financially accountable. Kurtz acknowledges that Suez has been posting the results of its water testing, but wants the company to test for double the PFAS chemicals. Tina Posterly is with Planned Parenthood Hudson Peconic.
As a sexual and reproductive health care and prenatal health care provider, we are increasingly concerned about evidence linking high PFAS chemical rates to negative outcomes for reproductive health, fertility, and pregnancy outcomes, including low birth weight, preeclampsia, and high blood pressure for pregnant people.
Another of the group's demands is to provide up-to-date information to healthcare providers and free blood testing to vulnerable populations, including women who are pregnant. Environmental and health officials say PFAS chemicals can cause a number of adverse health effects, including on the thyroid, pancreas, and immune system, and are linked to kidney and testicular cancer. On August 26, 2020, New York State adopted maximum contaminant levels for PFOA and PFOS at 10 parts per trillion each. A DOH spokesperson says, quote, both Suez Water New York and the Village of Nyack are implementing approved corrective action plans to install additional treatment to reduce the levels of PFOA and PFOS below the new state standard. Both of these public water systems are providing quarterly progress reports and the results of their water sampling analysis on their public websites for their customers and the general public to review, end quote. The Suez Water System is the largest serving Rockland County. It includes some 60 wells around the county and in New Jersey, along with multiple reservoirs. More than 300,000 Rockland residents are potentially impacted. Suez spokesman Bill Madden says the company launched a dedicated website in November that explains the water quality issue, outlines a remediation plan, and includes progress reports on sampling work. Suez will install granular activated carbon filtration to remove PFOA and PFOS from the water. The Rockland Water Coalition is asking for safe disposal of PFAS from the spent carbon filters. Madden says Suez communicated directly with its customers through mail, email, and social media about the PFAS issue, as well as co-hosted a virtual public forum at the end of June called What's Next for PFAS, which featured a panel of national, state, and regional experts. New York State Department of Environmental Conservation Chief of Staff Sean Mahar spoke during the forum and said an investigation into the source or sources of contamination continues. Officials say the contamination in Rockland is widespread and at relatively low levels. DEC is working with the State Department of Health, Rockland County Department of Health, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency on the issue. A DEC spokesperson says, quote, DEC's investigation of potential sources of contamination, including legacy cleanup sites, has not identified sources of contamination. We are reviewing the letter and will continue to work with community residents and other stakeholders on the state's ongoing efforts to address these low-level detections in the Rockland water supply, end quote. Again, the Rockland Water Coalition's Kurtz.
Ultimately, this issue is like the issue of lead. There are no known safe levels. And until we stop the production of these chemicals, we will continue to see more and more communities exposed to this plague of chemicals.
The two other demands in the letter call for regulating all PFAS in drinking water as a class at the state level, which environmentalists and others have been urging for some time, and supporting legislation to ban the production of PFAS in non-essential uses. Speaking for the Ramapo Munsee Lenape Nation, Owl Smith says the PFAS issue is important.
It's the latest in the long string of chemicals that we are putting into our environment and our water. And it doesn't take a genius or a medicine man to realize that what we put in the air and the water we're putting into ourselves.
In addition, the Rockland Water Coalition and others are calling on Governor Cuomo to sign the Emerging Contaminant Monitoring Act, which would add 40 chemicals to the list of emerging contaminants. Rob Hayes is director of Clean Water with Environmental Advocates New York.
And so this legislation is really critical to better understand how much PFAS people are being exposed to in their drinking water all across the state. The state legislature passed this bill at the end of their session last month, and now it's up to Governor Cuomo to sign it, to make it law, to finally jumpstart this water testing so that people know what's in their drinking water and we can take action to prevent any dangerous contamination that might be out there.
Democrat James Skoufis sponsored the bill in the Senate. His 39th district includes Newburgh, which has been grappling with PFOS contamination for more than 5 years, stemming from the historic use of firefighting foam at Stewart Air National Guard Base. Manhattan Democrat Richard Gottfried sponsored the bill in the Assembly. A spokesperson for the governor did not respond to a request for comment. Reporting for WAMC News, I'm Allison Dunn.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.